Today we take a nugget of gospel truth from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20. We are speaking on the subject, we are bought with a price. Scripture says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The scripture is very plain that we have been purchased by another. It says, know you not that your body. Now the body is where we live. But not only do we live in the body, but when we are saved, the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, and which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Why are we not our own? Notice verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are God's by a purchase. You see, we were redeemed from the slavery of sin by a price paid by another. And it was a high price. It had to be a sufficient price. And so he said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It is a reasonable request because we belong to God by the price he paid. 1 Corinthians 7:23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Men did not buy us. Men have no right to us. We are God's property. So we are to be the servants of God, not men. Now the price with which we are bought is the price of blood. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Well, 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19, tells us, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, my friend, it's saying, for as much as you know. When we understand that we are saved by the blood, and not our works or our goodness or our religion, we can know that we have salvation. But know that ye were not redeemed by giving or doing. You were not redeemed with corruptible or decaying, perishable things as silver and gold, from your vain or your empty, profitless, useless conversation or behavior or citizenship received by tradition from your father. Our lifestyle was passed down from our fathers, and their lifestyle was profitless and useless in spiritual things. But with the precious blood of Christ, the blood of Christ was precious, it's costly, honorable, pure, undefiled, and it was precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And when he said, when Peter wrote to the people that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, the people knew what he meant. They understood exactly what he meant, because lambs offered on the altars a sacrifice in the Old Testament under the law had to be spotless. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a spotless Lamb of God who came to take away our sins. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 1, God told us to come without money and without price. He told us to come without money, without price, because God has paid the ultimate, full, final price for our free salvation. So it's a price of blood. But not only that, we are redeemed because Jesus paid the price, and it is the price of life. It costs life to redeem life. In John, the 10th chapter, verse 15, Jesus said, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." In John, the 10th chapter, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me." Why does his Father love him? "Because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Jesus voluntarily, willingly, lay down his life so that we could be saved. He said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. "This commandment have I received of my Father." Oh, it is so important that Jesus lay down his life. You see, Jesus shed blood, took care of all of our sins. They are paid in full. But Jesus resurrected life, took care of us. Just forgiving us of our sins would not necessarily save us, because we would have the same old nature. What we need is the old nature crucified and given a new nature, and that's what the Lord does. He gives us his resurrected life. When we come to Christ to be saved, Jesus takes away our sins and invests in us his very own resurrected life. And 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his life for us. He didn't just die meaningless or useless in his death. He died for us. And since he died for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God loves and blesses the person who lays down his or her life for others, and certainly this includes missionaries. So we say, "Others, Lord." Yes, others. Let this my motto be: help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. In 1 John the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 13, the scripture tells us, and this is the record. The record is the word of God. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life, this eternal life, is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That verse is very clear, and it is simple. Please learn that verse. Mark it where you can find it. 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." This speaks of the name of the Son of God. Salvation is linked to his name. Name is all-inclusive. It stands for all that he is: faith, love, grace, power, life, mercy, and the list goes on. In John 10:28, Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life." He gives eternal life. We do not earn it, we cannot purchase it, and we certainly do not deserve it, but he gives unto us eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck, snatch, or take by force them out of my hand. Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 16, said, "Who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life." Did you hear that? We are saved by the power of an endless life. If you do not receive any other truth from this message, please remember, we are saved by the power of an endless life. Christ in you the hope of glory. And Jesus paid a full price. He paid the sin debt in full, Colossians 2:13. And you being dead, spiritually dead, in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He paid for all of our sins. He paid the full penalty for them. And Jesus paid a final price. Well, in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 3, said, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When he sat down, that was meant that salvation was paid in full. It was complete. The final price had been saved. He had finished his redemptive work. You see, salvation is not temporary. Salvation is eternal. Year after year, the priests offered sacrifices that could never, no, never take away sin. But this man, the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Salvation is not temporary. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He perfected us. He made perfect. He finished our salvation. He completed our salvation. By one offering, by offering himself one time on the cross, listen, he perfected us forever. And the sanctified person has a standing in God's presence in the sense that they approach him with a full acceptance. God fully accepts us, and that acceptance was gained through the death of Christ. Now, along with this good news, there is a warning. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 26. Listen to it. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If we sin willfully, that is, if we sin voluntarily, or we willingly turn from Christ, we leave him behind, we forsake the offer of free salvation, and after we receive the knowledge, the full discernment of how to be saved, and I pray that you will understand how to be saved through this message today, full discernment of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. There's not another atoning victim for our sins. And when a person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they have forsaken and left behind the only acceptable sacrifice, or the only acceptable atoning victim for the forgiveness of our sin. Our salvation is paid with a final price by the only one who had the means to pay a full price. And then it is the price of deity. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 8 and 9, said, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In these two verses we have the Trinity. But unto the Son, the Lord Jesus, he says, thy throne, O God, that's Jesus. Now, it's a good verse on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, God the Father, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. That's the Holy Spirit. But therefore God, even thy God, is saying that he is Jesus God, though Jesus is God, equal with the Heavenly Father, but he made this reference because Jesus placed himself under the authority of the Heavenly Father, and he is our example. And that's what we're supposed to do. We commit all to him. In 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 20, thinking of the price of deity, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true and are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God, an eternal God, that you may know him. That's assurance. You're in him. That's security. This is a true God, an eternal life. We're not trying to appease God by doing something. It is deity in humiliation. Philippians 2, 7 through 8, speaking of the Lord Jesus, but made himself of no reputation, and upon him the form of a servant, and received upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death of the cross. Now the death of the cross was the ultimate point of obedience. That's why he came, to go to the cross to pay for our sins, then to be buried and resurrected so that we could have his resurrected life. So this is deity in humiliation. It is deity expressing love. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. We absolutely understand the love of God. We understand it because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. But only the cross reveals the foreign kind of agape love the Heavenly Father has bestowed on us. It is deity showing power in Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He's declared to be the Son of God, prove that he's the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. His holiness and his resurrection prove he is the Son of God. It is deity revealing purpose. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained, we have been assigned an inheritance, being predestinated, predetermined, according to the purpose of him. Purpose of him, that's before God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Listen, we have been predestinated to an inheritance. God determined beforehand that we would receive an inheritance. This is a gift of God. Not that we deserve it. We sure didn't earn it. But God, in his grace, is giving it to us. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You notice the word purpose. God has a purpose for you and me in this life and in eternity. You are someone special. God has a special purpose for you. God did not save us just to keep us out of hell. He saved us for his purpose. Saving us from hell is a fringe benefit. Now listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's purpose came to us by grace, and it was given to us in Christ Jesus, and it was given to us in Christ before the world began. This is a work of God. Get in on it. It's for you. Thank God and walk with Him. Jesus paid the ultimate price for each one of us, every one of us, all of us. He paid the full and final price for you. Listen, you are important. You are unique. Of all the people in the world, God only has one like you. And He has a special purpose just for you. Now let us bow our heads. And I will lead in a sinner's prayer. And while I pray from your heart, while I pray from your heart, you make this your prayer and receive the Lord Jesus as your very own personal Lord and Savior. Now, just saying these words will not save you. But when you pray from your heart, you mean this prayer, then God will hear an honest prayer and answer it and save you. Let us pray. You pray in your heart, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and deserve the wrath of God, but I believe you died for my sins, paying the full penalty for them. The best that I know how, I repent of my sins, and I'm asking you to forgive my sins, come into my heart and save me. At this present moment, make me a new person and help me to do thy will each day. In your name and for your glory, I am praying this sincere prayer from my heart. Amen. Thank you for praying that. When you pray in His name, that is your authority. When you pray for His glory, that's purpose, and God will hear that. Now listen, we are glad that you have listened to this message, that you prayed to receive Christ. If we can be a further help to you, contact us through the program from which you hear this message, and we will be glad to do what we can to help you. God loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. Jesus died for you, and we care about you. We want you to be saved and be in heaven. So walk with the Lord Jesus now, and He'll be the best friend you ever had. God bless.